while you're doing that, I'm just wondering if there's anybody that has a good word for the Lord tonight, a testimony that you'd like to share, anything at all? As you're turning there, Psalm 71. If it's not you, it'll be me, okay? So, I'll get right into it here. But anybody have a good word for the Lord? Something good happened this week? Something you'd like to share? Yes, sir, Brother Joe. Amen. 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 That's good. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, sir, Garrett. Amen. That'd be good. That'd be good. That'd be an exciting time of revival in your home if or when that happens, but we're going to be praying for the win on that. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. That's good to hear. Business is booming. That's good. Praise the Lord for that. Anybody else? That's good. Yes, sir. Brother Robles. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's good. Anytime we can keep anybody out of hell, I tell you what, that's a testimony in and of itself. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. All right, Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Let's stand. We're going to read two verses together. Psalm 71. If you looked at my notes, this is one of them nights. You'd look at it and you'd be encouraged, maybe. If there's I don't know what's going on for sports tonight, but if there was a Red Sox game on, you might be able to catch a tail end of it or something, according to my notes. But you never know. Oftentimes I say that, and some of you say, oh, preacher, you said that before, and it's gone over. You know, you've got it timed. But anyways, but Psalm 71, we're going to read together 17 and 18, verses 17 and 18. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we come to the preaching of your book now, Lord. And again, I need you, Lord, to push anything, any of my thoughts away, and I want your thoughts to be said tonight. Holy Spirit of God, fall upon me. Anoint my lips, give me clarity of thought, Father, and Lord, I ask you to open hearts tonight, and again, may we leave here closer to you than when we came. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Bible, for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross to give us eternal life, and I pray, God, as we sit around your word tonight, that we'll just be warmed by the fire, if you will, just encouraged of the great things of God. I pray, God, that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm, of course, was written by David. Probably was penned around the time or during the rebellion of his son Absalom. This is one of the great struggles he had during his latter years. David's an aged man here. This psalm had been referred to as the psalm for the old man. You'll notice in verse number 14b, and I'll read it here. I'll actually read the whole verse, but I will hope continually and yet will praise thee more and more. This is definitely a fact in the life of David, as it is for anyone who walked with God for several years. And, I thank God for the older men. When I was in Bible college, I was 25, 26, 27, into my 28-year-old. I was termed a young man at that particular time, and by the way, still a young man today. Amen. That's an amen now, okay? But it seemed that I always hung with the older men. There was always a few men, if you will, that were older than me that, man, sacrificed and left their home, and they brought their family. Yeah, I had my family, but I was kind of a younger man. But I'm talking about some men that were 40, 50 years old, and they'd uproot their family because God called them to preach or whatever. They'd go off to Bible college and so forth. And I always found myself hanging around the older men. I always found myself, in any time that I could get closer to the faculty and staff, if you will, and the preachers, and I, you know, I'm talking about the well, some of you wouldn't know, but the Brother Sprungers and the Brother Lorenz. I mean, there were the older men there that taught Bible and so forth. I always tried to do everything I could to get to the older men. And this psalm, of course, is known, if you will, as a psalm for the older man, if you will. David, of course, at this time, you know, he says, "Yet will yet praise thee more and more." That last part of verse 14. This was definitely a fact in the life of David. He was someone that could praise God more and more. He was here dwelling upon the past, if you will, and thanking God for how good God has been. The aged can praise him more and more simply because of the wonderful experiences they have enjoyed in serving Christ for all these years. And reverting back to my illustration a moment ago, getting to some of the older men, you know, I loved listening to their stories. I loved listening to their soul winning experiences and their different places that they'd preach and different things. I just really enjoyed gleaning from the older men. I loved as a boy even, and this was something I even took more as a young man, I loved hanging around my granddad. You know, I had friends and I had my buddies and so forth, but I really, every Friday night, I enjoyed going down. I mean, my granddad lived about a mile or so away, and every Friday night, Friday and Saturday, I would spend time with my granddad. My grandmother passed away when I was 9 years old, and my grandfather lived right up until I was about 22 or 3 years old, and so he had many, many years alone, but I just enjoyed hanging with my granddad. I enjoyed hearing his stories and different things about how he grew up and different things like that, and the history, if you will. And I love to hear his experiences. I'm going somewhere here, but again, reverting back to this psalm again, you know, the aged, if you will, they have wonderful experiences and they have enjoyed in serving Christ for all these years. They can praise him more and more because the many sins, if you will, that God has forgiven, if you will, the mistakes that they've made, and God, time and time again, I thank God he's a forgiving God. He doesn't just quit on us when we blow it the first time or second time. He's a God of a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chance. But they can recall of the many sins that God has forgiven, and the long suffering. They recall of the long suffering of God and the patience and the love that God has shown, in despite of who they were and who we are and what they have done and the mistakes they have committed. And they can look back on we can look back on David's life. The ups and downs, and I think David kind of was here as well. It is easy to see that as he is older, he can praise the Lord more and more. You know, let me just say this. You know, we have a lot to praise God for. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're just a child down the nursery, or the youngest down the nursery, or you're the oldest individual up here in this room this evening. We have a lot to praise God for. I mean, you know, and maybe, you know, I mentioned a little bit this morning, you have some tough situations at home. You say, "Preacher, you don't understand what I came from just before I got here. You don't understand the collector's calls. You don't understand the heartaches. You don't understand, I got a call that a loved one's ill. You don't understand." But the truth of the matter is, yeah, that is a heartache and that is a burden that you may have to bear and so forth, but we still have a lot to praise God for. He's given you breath tonight. He's given you life tonight. Thank God if you're here with your family. You've got your family surrounding you. You've got a lot to thank God for. He's given you clothes off on your back and so forth. And our text this evening, of course, is verse 17 and 18. And there's some things that stood out to me. This might be kind of a sermon. Brother Howes used to call it a sermon that kind of is running around town a little bit. I'm not sure exactly where it will wind up, but I hope it'll be a blessing. But some things that stood out to me, if you will. And verse 17, David pens, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth." David was a god, had a godly upbringing. And let me just say this, if you had a godly upbringing, you ought to thank God for it. You know, there's some of you here tonight, you say, well, preacher, you don't understand. You know, I wish I had the upbringing that some of these boys and girls and some of the children have that we see here at church. I wish we had that. Well, maybe you don't, but the truth of it, you don't have to go ahead and dwell on that, and you don't have to use that as an excuse not to go forward for God. You know, oftentimes we'll go ahead and use our past as an excuse. Well, God can't use it. No, God can use you. And you know what? David committed a big sin with Bathsheba. We know, boy, you know, and it just spiraled bigger and bigger. And it went downward, if you will, you know, with that sin with Bathsheba. Then he killed a man and he tried to lie, you know, on and on and on and on and on it went. But the truth of the matter is David was still a man after God's own heart. And the truth of the matter is God still used David. We ought not use our past upbringing. We ought not use our past, if you will, as an excuse not to serve God. God wants to use you. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've been saved out of. God wants to use you right where you are. Maybe you were called to preach, but you blew it along the way, and you can't be called. You can't preach or pastor or whatever. Okay, don't let that go ahead and keep you from serving God. You serve God in the local church and do what God wants you to do. God wants to use you. But David, of course, young man, I think he might have been reminiscing, if you will. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and he had a godly upbringing. And teenager, child, if you're here tonight, and you might be able to say, you ought to be able to say along with David, if you're in church tonight, oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. You know, the reason why you're here tonight, young people and children, is because there's a mama or a daddy, there's a preacher here, there's a Sunday school teacher, there's people that wants to teach you from your youth how you can live and how you can become what God wants you to be. Hey, teenager, you ought to desire tonight, hey God, you teach me. You allow the word of God to absorb your heart. Young people, don't you squander these years. You ought to thank God for a mama and daddy that is teaching you in your youth. If you have a devotion time, you ought to thank God for that. Don't say, well, it's boring. No, you ought to thank God when the family altar gets together and your daddy and your mama's teaching you from your youth. I get tired of hearing about preachers' kids and deacons' kids and kids that just, that mama and daddy, you know, without fail, they're in church and they get up. But I get tired of them complaining about being reared in a children's home. You ought to thank God for the music that your parents tell you you need to listen to. You ought to thank God for their rules. Rules are simple guidelines that lead you to doing right, young person. You ought to thank God for your preacher who will not waver. You ought to thank God for the leaders who love you and pray for you. Why? Simply because we're trying to teach you from your youth, and God wants to teach you from your youth. You ought to thank God for your mama and your daddy who sacrificed to bring you to a youth group on a Tuesday night, or maybe pay your way through a Christian school. You ought to thank God for some leadership, if you will. And I know I'm right on the young people right now, but thank God for some leadership right now that wants to teach you from your youth so that you don't have to go into the mires of the world, so that you don't have to go ahead and look back and say, I wish I had listened. I wish I had. Hey, teenager, hey, young person, I want you to live a life of saying, I'm glad that I did. I'm glad that I served God. I'm glad that I listened to my mama and daddy. I'm glad that I sat up front and listened to the preacher. That's what I want you to live. I want you to live that kind of life. And your mama and daddy, they maybe blew it through the years, but they got right and they got saved. And then they're trying to put the Bible in your home, and they want to teach you in the home, and they bring you to church. Hey, you ought to thank God for a mama and daddy like that. Hey, if you're a preacher's kid, you ought to thank God. If you're a deacon's kid, you ought to thank God. If you're a Sunday school teacher's kid, you ought to thank God that that your mama and daddy want to serve God. Your mama could have been a prostitute. Your daddy could have been selling dope, if you will. You kids that are reared in a Christian home, you ought to thank God and thank God and thank God that you have a mama and daddy that brought you to church tonight. Someone trained David to do right. Someone told him the difference between right and wrong. It was probably his daddy, Jesse. Jesse was an ancestor of Christ, which tells me that I think Jesse, just learning a little bit about him, he was a godly man. And when Samuel was looking at the sons, you know, I'm kind of reverting back, because here's David, okay? Verse number 70, oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. I'm going back just a little bit. to David's youthfulness in 1 Samuel 16. I'm going to read a few verses here, and just kind of a thought here, if you will. I'm just going to read a few verses. And number one, I'll read several here. "The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse." Okay, that's David's dad, the Bethlehemite. "For I have provided me a king among his sons." And now, as the story goes, you know what? The whole lineup, if you will, of Jesse's kids come out. Samuel was looking for a king, if you will. God was going to go ahead and have Samuel anoint a new king. And the whole line of people came out, whole line of them, if you will. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto him, unto me, him whom I name unto thee." All right, on down. And he said, verse number 5, let's go right down to 6. "And it came to pass, when they were come, they looked on Eliab." Now here's all these guys, okay? Here's the sons of Jesse, if you will. Samuel's there for the sole purpose to anoint someone king. God said, "Hey, you know what? Go to the sons of Jesse, and we're going to find a king among his sons, if you will." And Eliab comes through, and no, he's not selected to be king. Abinadab comes through. Shammah comes through. All the sons of Jesse comes through, and no. These aren't the men. And of course, the Bible goes on. Let's go ahead and read here. Then Jesse, in verse number 9, Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Verse 10, again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. Of course, they all were no. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." All these men, all these sons of Jesse passed by, and they were all no. But God said, "Hey, you know what? There's a youth out there." Jesse said, "You know what? No, I have a son who's out tending the sheep. Surely he's not the man." And Samuel said, "Hey, bring him here. Bring him here." And of course, he was the man, and David brought him in, and the Bible, and the they brought him in, and they brought David in. In verse number 11, this is his testimony of who David was, a young man, if you will. He sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy and withal and a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him. This is he, a young man." What a testimony to have as a young man, one that was goodly to look to, one that was clean, if you will, one that was ruddy, had a beautiful countenance. You know, it says a lot to living right. You know, there's something just about living right. You know what? When you live right and you live clean and you live pure, young person, it doesn't matter who you are, you have a good thought life. You know what? There's just something right about it. There's something healthy about it. And let me tell you something. When you decide you want to live right, when you decide, "Hey, I want to keep my body clean and pure. I don't want to be touched by all the world. I'm going to save myself to marriage, for marriage. I'm going to save myself for the right young man and for the right young lady." Hey, there's just something about living right. Hey, teenager, you know what? That's a good testimony to have. One that would go ahead and be ruddy, if you will, and with all of a beautiful countenance. Why did he have a beautiful countenance? Because he had there was a youthfulness about him. There was something about David that he lived for God. He was a spiritual young man, and he was beautiful. Had a beautiful countenance. He was probably a handsome guy, as the girls would say. He was probably a looker. Amen. Probably, you know, he was a strong guy, strong young man, and so forth. And he was goodly to look to. No doubt, when he was in the crowd, when he went to school, there was probably something different about David. He would maybe rise above. He wouldn't go around haughty and say, "Look at me," but there was something different. There was something godly about David. Hey, you know why? Because God has taught him from his youth. There's just something, young people, about living right. And God went ahead and chose a young man. Hey, David, you're going to be anointed king. God, hey, let me tell you something. If David can be anointed and be used of God, hey, young people, God can go ahead and use you too. And don't you mess up on God. Don't you blow it. You listen to your mom and daddy. You listen to your preacher. You listen to your Sunday school teacher. You decide that I'm going to go ahead and live right. David, in his youth, of course, he also killed Goliath. And he was determined not to let God's name be dragged through the mud. Boy, we need people, we need young men, we need young ladies, but we also need mamas and daddies that when the times are tough and when times are rough, that we're just going to go ahead and stand, and having done all to stand. When you go to work and you hear your God take it in vain, you ought to stand up and say, that's my God you're talking about. That's what David did. David went into town, and of course, the big old goon Goliath was bad-mouthing God and defying the armies of God and so forth. And David came on into town and said, is there not a cause? You know, he's going to take a stand. Yes, Saul should have been the one to fight that old big old goon, if you will. Saul should have been the one to fight. His brothers, who are older than him, should have fought, but they were the cowards. They sat on the side. And of course, Eliab goes ahead and says, I know thy naughtiness of thy heart, David. You know, when David comes in and gives him the cheese and corn, and Dad said, I want to need to come and check on you. You just read 1 Samuel 17 here later on. That's the story of David and Goliath. And of course, David was ridiculed, young David, a young man, by the way. But you know what? He was going to just take a stand. Hey, you know what? You're not going to drag my God through the mud. Hey, what we need is some young men, some young ladies saying, hey, don't you drag my God through the mud. We need some mamas and daddies. Irregardless, don't you drag God through the mud. Hey, let's take a stand for God. David here in Psalms. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. You know, because you have taught me, God, because I've seen, oh man, you've given me victory over Goliath, and I've seen you anointed me as king as a young man. I've seen you do so many wonderful things in my life. You gave me strength to kill a lion. You gave me strength to kill a bear. God, you have been so good. You give me a godly daddy and a godly home. God, you have been so good. You've enabled me to do many, many a thing, and simply because, oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and because of that, I want to, God, declare your wondrous works. You see, David here, it wasn't about him. There's nothing in them, in these scriptures at all. You read all of Psalm 71, and there's nothing in these scriptures at all that depict that it was all about David. Hey, God, it's all about you. God, it's all about you. Boy, and David, I can see there, maybe he's sitting back, he's stroking his beard, and he's thinking, and he's reminiscing about all the good things that God has done. And God, because you have taught me, God, because you used me, well, I'm going to go ahead for the rest of my life. I'm going to declare your wondrous works. I'm going to let people know how you helped me kill that giant. I'm going to let people know how you allowed me to be used of you. I'm just going to go ahead and testify of you. Oh, how we need young people. Oh, how we need mamas and daddies. Oh, how we need church members that decide, hey, we'll go out into this world and we're going to go ahead and declare the wondrous works of God. Yeah, David made mistakes. Yes, he committed adultery. Yes, it led to murder. Yes, and all the other things that went with it, we know. But it shows the grace of God, how God still smiled upon David. As I mentioned a moment ago, David, you're still a man after my own heart. Let me tell you something, and I've said it. Don't allow your past, adult. Don't allow your past to keep you from serving God. God says, David, you're not perfect, but I still love you. I still believe in you. You're going to rule my people, and I'm going to make thee a great kingdom. And maybe you're here tonight, you've got that past. Don't let the past stop you from serving God. David was used due to his allowing God to teach him from his youth. We are reminded of his youth and how God used David. Oh, we could spend the whole evening on his youth and how God had used him. Verse number 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. You know, he's speaking of the present at this particular time. Now when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. You know, he was reminiscing of the past, but he's also reminiscing now at this particular time. He's old, he's gray-headed, and he says, and I kind of think he was saying, I'm old, but please, God, do not forsake me. God, you know, the rest of my life, you know, the reason why I don't want you to forsake me, the reason why I don't want you to fail me, God, the reason why I don't want you to put me on a shelf right now, I want to go ahead. Not only do I want to show your wondrous works and declare your wondrous works to this generation, but I also want to show thee show this generation until I have showed, oh God, it says, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. God, I want to let this generation know what you've done. Oh God, I want everybody to know your strength. I want everybody to know your power. And God, don't you forsake me now. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. If you're an adult here tonight, maybe you're up in years. I don't know. Maybe whatever the case may be. Hey, you ought to pray. Oh God, don't forsake me now. Because, hey, listen, there's people right now I want to reach. There's people right now, maybe at the workplace, maybe at the marketplace, wherever. There are people right now. I want to go ahead and tell you. I want to proclaim today the strength and your goodness to this generation. That's what he says. Hey, you know what? God, forsake me. He's an old man. He's not going to be able to go fight another battle. He's not going to do a whole lot more, but he wants a good testimony. He wants to declare the wondrous works, and he also wants to say, hey, to this generation, boy, God is a strong God. God is someone that'll see you through it. God will go ahead and tell you. God will go ahead and see you through your battles. God will see you through your disappointments. God will go ahead and see you through this your trials. Hey, you just trust in God. And I just happened to think, this just blessed me. He said, forsake me not, God. Don't fail me, God. Yes, I am old. Yes, I'm not going to go kill the giant again. Yes, I'm not going to go ahead and do all the things that I did. I won't be killing a lion and a bear anytime soon. You know what, God, I know in just a little while, I'm going to be going to heaven to be with you. But God, forsake me not, because I want to still reach this generation. You know, until the very day that I die, I want to do everything I can to proclaim your wondrous works and your power and your strength. David, from his youth, he knew God. He evidenced God's power in his life in so many ways. And you young people, you ought to decide tonight, hey, I'm going to continue to know God. I'm going to continue to grow in the Lord. I'm going to continue to read my Bible. I'm not going to turn my back on God, for he's never turned his back on you young people. And adults, you know, maybe you're backslidden a little bit tonight. You're not in that close relationship with God. Yeah, you're saved, and praise the Lord for that. But you ought to decide, you know what, I'm going to get back to knowing God. I want to have a legacy to pass down to the next generation. What will you pass down here, adult, tonight? What is it that you'll pass down to the next generation? This psalm tells me that he was not concerned about himself, but he was concerned about this generation that he was living in and the generation to follow. For it says in that last phrase, in thy power to everyone that is to come. That's to his that's to his grandkids, if you will. That's to the kids that are still yet to be born. He wants to proclaim. David wants a testimony that shows God is strong, that God is wondrous, that God is true. He says, forsake me not. Please, God, let my testimony, let a good testimony be passed from generation to generation. Hey there, adult. Hey there, mama and daddy. What are you passing down to the next generation? What is it? Are there some things in your life that the kids see right through, and are there some things in your life you ought to get rid of tonight and say, I don't want that part of my life, because my kids, I want to pass down a godly legacy to my children, to the children that I teach, to the children that are in my home. Hey, what is it that you're passing down? I happen to be looking at this, and I see an old man, David, says, God, forsake me not. I want to show your strength to this generation, and I want to show the power to those who are coming along, the young people that are coming along. This is what we're all about. If you're a youth, learn all you can from the Word of God, and learn from these men and ladies of God. Boy, you know what? Don't make Sunday school class a bore. You get up and you perk up your ears and you listen to your Sunday school teacher. Get up and you perk up your ears and you listen to the preacher. Hey, young people, don't allow God's Word. Don't allow the things of God. Don't allow church. And by the way, if there's people that'll tell you, oh, that's boring, you don't want to go ahead and do that, you don't want to go to church, hey, you just say, no, I'm not going to hang around. You know, I'm going to church because I want to do everything I can to learn about God. I want to grow and I want to be what God wants me to be. If you're older tonight, you can continue to learn the principles of God. You can stay busy serving God and transferring it to the next generation. If you're older tonight, if you're an adult tonight, don't quit that bus route. Don't you quit reading your Bible. You keep on praying. You come to church. You serve with your family. You still press on the upward way, I should say. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hey, you know what? Don't get to a point, anybody in this room, that you've arrived, that you say, you know, I can keep on growing. I can keep on serving. I can keep on being what God wants me to be. I'm going to go ahead and press on. If you're here tonight, don't quit serving. serving. If you're here tonight and you're not serving, you ought to decide, I'm not going to squander my years on riotous living, if you will. I'm going to go ahead and get my heart right, and I'm going to get on board with Jesus, and I'm going to serve him. Hey, let me just give you a few thoughts, and you know, believe it or not, I'm landing this thing in just a few minutes. You're a youth. You learn all you can about Jesus now. You just learn all you can. You absorb it. You listen to preaching. You listen to the right music. And you listen to things that capture your heart for right. And you learn about Jesus right now. You learn all you can. You decide right now, teenager, I'm going to serve God. You decide right now, you know what? Maybe you're not going off into full. Maybe God hasn't led you to full-time Christian service. I'm not saying that. But right now, you can serve God in a bus route. Maybe right now, you can serve God somewhere in the church. You decide right now, I'm going to serve God soul winning. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Hey, you're a youth. You decide right now, that you're going to go ahead learn everything you can about Jesus. I know a young person tonight. I have story after story, and I'm just going to pull this one out. But who had what you had? They went to a good church, had loving parents or guardians, went to youth group, went teen soul winning. They had it all, if you will. Went to youth conference every year, if you will. Listened to preaching. Oftentimes, she'd come to my office and ask me, Pastor Weeks, what do I need to do about this? She was right on the money as far as living right, clean and pure, doing right, and all that stuff. And this young lady went through all the great things. She even submitted to say, I'm going to go off to Bible college. But in her senior year, she got with the wrong crowd. She even went to Christian school. She got with the wrong crowd. Oh, probably a year or two back, when I was still a youth pastor in Maine, I happened to run into her. And I said, hey, how's it going? And you could tell just by her countenance, it was not a beautiful countenance. I mean, you could tell she was through the mill. You could tell she's just a young lady, 19, 20 at this particular time. At one time, she was young, clean, had high hopes for her. Boy, I had high hopes for her. She would have gone off and done some great things for God. And I talked to her and I said, hey, how's it going? I knew, but I just wanted to hear it from her words. And all of a sudden, her eyes just welled up with tears. And she just started crying, sobbing. And all my teenagers, they affectionately called me Brother Sean. She says, Brother Sean, I wish that I'd listened. She says, countless times I came to your office. Countless times I heard you preach. Countless times I'd sit right in the teen section and I'd listen to the preacher preach. How many times she sat in a Bible class Monday through Friday in Christian school. Every Sunday night she'd go to youth group. Every year she'd go off to youth conference. She was involved in the teen activities. At this time, she was just crying uncontrollably. And she says, you know, preacher, she says, it's not going very well, as you can tell. The world has literally eaten me up. And she says, I don't think I can ever be used. I said, yes, you can. I sat down with her as a good hour. I tried to map out her life, and she says, I can't be used. I can't be used. I can't be used. And I tried to get her back in church, and so it just didn't happen. After that hour-long conversation, she said, Brother Sean, you keep telling them to keep serving Jesus. Keep telling them to keep serving Jesus. And this was her words. They do not want what I got now. They do not want what I got now. She had an illegitimate child. She even had an abortion during all that time. She went through the ringer. A young lady that was taught from her youth. David just happened to be a young man that, yeah, he made mistakes, and we'll all make mistakes, but, you know, obviously, looking at the end of his life, he made it, if you will, if you want to put it that way. I mean, he's still serving God in his aged years. But young person, listen to me. If you're not careful, there's going to be a crowd out there that'll try to come after you. All the decisions that you've made at youth conferences and camps and here and different things, all of that will go down the tubes if you're not careful who you listen to and who you hang around. And I'm going to say this, what this young lady said, you keep living for Jesus. And let me tell you something, young people. I know I'm pointing you out tonight, but the truth of the matter is, she said it. You don't want what she's living through tonight. You don't want it. And listen, if you're a leader tonight, a guardian, a parent, you ought to live in such a way that you're going to pass off something wholesome to the next generation. Live in such a way that you're going to pass off something right to the next generation. David was not concerned with himself, but he wanted God to be proclaimed to the generation to come. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. I want to just proclaim your works, God. You are so good. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, also, he says, I just want to keep on keeping on for you, God, until the very day I die. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You know, that ought to be our prayer tonight. What are you passing on to the next generation? 2 Timothy, very familiar verse. Paul's writing to Timothy. His son in the ministry, I like to call him. Timothy being a preacher boy, being trained by Paul. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, verse 1, verse 2. In these things, in the things that thou hast heard of me, talking about Paul, among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Cody, come on up here a minute. What are you going to go ahead and pass on to the next generation? I've zoomed in on the kids a little bit, but right now, just at the close of my message, this is to the you adults. What wholesome thing can you pass down to these children, these teenagers? What are you passing on? And you don't even have to be their parent. I'm saying, what are you passing down? If you are a parent, and some of these are your kids, and all the kids around here, they happen to be your child, what are you passing down that's wholesome to the next generation? Is the right kind of music flooding through their ears so that that's music that desires them to serve God? I mean, or do you just allow whatever, the hip-hop or the rap or the rock or whatever the case may be, that stuff that draws these young people away from God? Let me tell you something. It doesn't draw them to God, by the way. You listen to the words of this rock and rap and all that talks about sex, drugs, and all this, shacking up all this other junk. You know what? How is that drawing them closer to God? Answer me. How? You know, don't answer me, okay? But truth of the matter, think about it. But how is that drawing them closer to God? But what I'm trying to say here, he's my son, Chorus, and you know what? I'm pretending I'm the old Paul. Don't you go home and say that I'm old, okay? You're the young Timothy. Hold on now. The Bible says, I'm going to say it, in the things that thou hast heard of me. Now, Timothy, I've taught you much. Tried to give you the right music. Tried to give you the right Bible, the King James Bible. Tried to teach you the right way, and I tried to teach you to live clean, pure, decent, and so forth. Now, Timothy, I want to give you this. I want you to take everything, the things that I've taught you, the things that I've given you, and I want you to absorb it. Don't you ever forget it. Because, see, it's your generation. I'm going to pass off the scene, but it's your turn now. Now it's your turn to go ahead and teach the next generation. Now, Timothy, I want you to grab this, the King James Bible. I want you to take my music. I want you to take my standards. I want you to take my righteous living, if you will, the way I've lived. And I want you to take how I treat my marriage, your mom, if you will. I want you to take that. I want you to absorb that. I want you to teach your children. I want you to present it to a crowd, too. And I want you to teach them so that they, and you're going to turn around. Let's see here. Let me have, is there a younger man? The youngest man here. Who's the youngest man here? Youngest man. Come on up here, Dylan. Okay. And if this is how we're going to go ahead and save America, this is how we're going to go ahead and salvage this country, if we're going to have revival, it's going to happen this way. And I want you to take that. I'm giving you something wholesome, because as the Bible says back in our text tonight, you know, I want you to proclaim God's wondrous works. I want you to proclaim His strength and His power to your generation, and then I want you to do the same and pass it on to the next generation and give it off. And so Dylan, you know what, he's not going to say it for me, but I want you, okay, now he's the Paul, if you will, of your life. He's an old man now, and I'll tell him that later, but he's an old man now, and you're the younger generation. I want you to take that Bible, the King James Bible. I want you to take my soul winning. I want you to take my standards. I want you to take how he treated his wife, and I want you to take my walk with God, and I want you to transfer it to the next generation. Hey, you may be seated. Guys, thank you, but the truth of the matter is, what I'm trying to say, listen, if we're going to save America, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be done in the church. It's going to be done by godly living in the home. It's going to be done by in the church. It's going to be done by not wavering and waffling around with our music and the contemporary junk and all the new versions out there. That's not how it's going to be done. If we're going to save America, we've got to get the right stuff in our young people's hands. And that ultimately is what David is saying. God, I want to proclaim your wondrous works. You have been so good to me. And even in my old age, you allow me to write the Bible. And I want to pass this to the next generation. And I want it to go to the next generation. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. It won't be until God's people decides, you know what? I'm going to take my old kingdom. I don't care. Whatever the world, whatever the other community churches want, they can have it. But as for me and my house, I'm just going to serve God. I'm going to stand for the old book. I'm going to stand for the old music. I'm going to stand, and by the way, I don't even bring it. You know, teenagers used to bring, hey pastor, listen to this, see if this is approved. And so if it's doubtful music, don't bring it to me, man. Bottom line, I don't want to hear it. If it's out of the even close to the contemporary junk, I don't even want to hear it, man. Just keep it, whatever, burn it, as far as I'm concerned. Truth of the matter is, we just need to get back to the old ways. And David, I'm just going to read my text one more time. Psalm 71, I'll get there in just a second. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. He had a good upbringing, and young people, if you're here tonight, it's obvious you're here for a reason. Somebody brought you here. You've been taught from your youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed my strength. God, I want to show the generation that I live in now, I want to continue to go ahead and tell them about you. I want them to know how strong you are. And I want everyone that is to come to know how good you are, God. That's what the Bible says, and thy power to everyone that is to come. And that's what it's going to take. We just need to stand by the old stuff. David, he was an old man desiring to stay by the old stuff. What are you going to pass down? Mama. Daddy. What is it that you know when your heart's not right? Your kids see it. We're trying to root it out of them. We're trying to keep that music, whatever. What is it that's in your life that you say, you know what, God? You know, I try, and we haven't had a lot, but of course, a few weeks ago, we had International Bible College here, played some good music. You know what? You want good music. You know what? That's safe stuff right there. Amen. What we sing here in church is safe stuff. I mean, these hymns here, they've been tried and tested, man. Amen. You know, it's not just a little ditty, and you see Jesus in there or God in there about one time. Got all the beat in there, you know, whatever. You know what? This is safe stuff. But hey, leader, what is it tonight? If we're going to save this nation, it's going to take us, from the preacher to the Sunday school teacher to the deacons to the mamas and daddies, say, you know what? I got some things I need to root out in my life. I don't want my child to see through me and the junk that's there. And I want to go ahead and pass on to them something wholesome so that they can be taught and trained to do the same thing for their next, for their generation. I don't know how to give an invitation tonight. I really don't know. I just had thoughts. If you saw my notes, you'd wonder what in the world was it. Truth of the matter is. But the truth of the matter, I just gave you my heart tonight. And young people, you know, your preacher loves you more than you'll ever know. I want to see you make it. Every one of you to make it and do whatever God wants you to do, whatever God has for you. And you know, you ought to just seal it tonight. Whatever. God, I'm yours. If you feel like you're breaking away a little bit and you feel like you can't handle it, you come to your preacher. You come to a godly mom or daddy, a godly Sunday school teacher, say, man, I need some help. Pray for me. Help me, help me, help me. And church, moms, dads, Sunday school teachers, we need you. They need you. They need you. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. I thank you for this thought that you laid on my heart this week. God, my burden, my desire is to reach the next generation. God, the very best I know, I will stay by the stuff. Stay by what I have been taught all these years. The old King James, the old music, the old paths. And God, I want to be able to transfer to the next generation something right and wholesome. I pray, dear God, this preacher right here, I'll do right by you. I pray, God, that I'll never let my guard down. I pray, God, that you allow me to continue to be used. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation now. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here tonight. Let's stand.